Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are on a listen-only mode until the question and answer session of today's conference. At that time, to ask a question, press star and the number one on your phone and record your name at the prompt. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I will now turn the call over to Chris Boerner. Thank you. You may begin.
Hi. Thank you very much for joining us today. My name is Chris Boerner. I am the Interim Chief of Cash Management here at the National Science Foundation. With me, I have the Grantee Cash Management Section team with us. We have Dorothy Battle, Diana Phan, Eileen Caruso, and Justin Pohl will be today's presenter. I encourage everybody to ask any questions and ask as often as you feel necessary.
All right. Thank you, Chris. This is Justin. We're going to go ahead and get started here. Just to cover briefly with the topics that we're going to be covering, we're going to be covering the basics of program income and the report, give you a brief overview of the reporting timeline and some common questions that we receive. We're going to break after that point for some short Q&A, and then we'll proceed to the second part of the webinar where we go over the report instructions and common processing issues, and we will also have a Q&A at the end. Just some background here. The program income used to be collected with the collection of the quarterly federal financial report that NSF had collected prior to the implementation of ACMS. However, with the implementation of ACMS, NSF chose to eliminate the need for the quarterly FFR. However, it was still necessary to collect program income in some fashion. We addressed this with the release of the 2014 Proposal on Award Policy and Procedures Guide, indicating that we would collect program income annually through the submission of an Excel file that we make available each year. Any institution of higher education or nonprofit that had an active award during the current reporting period is required to submit a report. The current reporting period covers the previous federal fiscal year, which was October 1 of 2018 to September 30th, 2019. Institutions that received Small Business Innovation Research Awards or individual fellows that received their individual fellowship awards are not required to submit a program income report.
I have a couple of people who said they can't hear.
Yeah.
Audio.
Just a moment while we address. It looks like there's a few participants that are having audio problems, so we're just going to send some information out via chat or Q&A to make sure that you have the participant code. So, the question we often receive is your institution required to submit a report if no program income has been earned? And the answer is yes. We require a program income report from every institution that had an active award. The reporting worksheet, the Excel file that is used to submit the program income report, is available via research.gov. Under the Manage Financials header, you should see the program income reporting page link. The key thing to remember is failure to report program income or to validate that no program income was earned or expended could result in suspension of future grant payments starting as early as November 15, 2019. In the past, we haven't enforced that cutoff as much as we plan to in the future. So here's a brief description of the reporting timeline. It opens at the beginning of this fiscal year, October 1st. A first reminder went out in the first week of October A reminder notice went out within the last week, and the report is due November 14th. We will continue to follow up with those institutions that haven't submitted the report through December. As of Monday of this week, we've only received about 30% of the reports that are expected for this year. So what is program income? Program income is gross income earned by the awardee organization that is directly generated by an activity that is supported by the NSF funding. This could include fees for services performed, the use or rental of equipment or property that has been acquired under the grant, the sale of commodities or items fabricated under the grant, and or licensing fees. However, interest earned on advances of federal funds is not considered program income. Furthermore, program income does not include any revenue you receive from NSF as a reimbursement of your award expenses. Again, I want to reiterate, reimbursement received for expenditures that are reported via ACMS transactions is not program income. However, each year we receive a number of program income reports that include their reimbursements on the report. That means we are receiving inflated figures or incorrect figures for the program income that's being earned and spent on NSF grants. NSF has a standard treatment of program income, and that is considered additive, unless it is otherwise specified in the NSF award notice or if there is a special term and condition that's added to the award notice that changes the treatment to a special treatment or deductive treatment. Additive treatment means that any income earned is to be retained by you, the grantee, and added to the funds committed to the project by NSF, and thus used to further the project objectives. However, it does not mean that the program income can be used on anything that you want. The same allowability and applicability rules apply to whatever would be allowed on the grant funds would then be allowed to be on the program income funds. If it's not allowed to be on the award funds, it would not be allowed to be spent or used against the program income funds. Efforts should be made to avoid having excess program income at the end of the project. In general, program income should be expended prior to requesting reimbursement against the grant. However, we realize that that's not as easy to do logistically on a day-to-day basis. So we ask that you true that up on occasion, especially at the end of the project. What we don't want to see is if you've requested 100% of your grant funds and you have leftover excess program income, because in that case, you're not able to retain those funds. Those funds must be returned to NSF. In certain circumstances, we do add special treatment of program income to the notice of award, and we require a deductive method to be used. When that is the case, program income earned must be remitted to NSF by crediting costs otherwise chargeable against the grant. This is often the case when a grantee receives a conference or group travel award and the special condition FL-26 is added to the award notice. I want to cover a couple scenarios here. In this example, your institution was awarded a grant for $500,000 to conduct research. The award is subject to the standard treatment of program income. A piece of equipment funded by the grant has downtime while not used for the grant's purpose. Since this equipment is highly specialized, non-federal entities express interest in using the equipment when available. You charge and collect usage fees in the amount of $25,000. Your institution draws down a total of $230,000 in ATMS as of September 30th, 2019 for reimbursement of project expenses. In your FY19 program income report, for this award, you will report which answer. In this case, you should only be reporting the $25,000 of program income. However, in many cases, we still receive reports that will report either the answer B or the answer A. And we just want to reiterate that that is incorrect. If no additional program income is earned, the maximum reimbursement available from NSF remains the $500,000 since additive treatment of the program income applies in this scenario. Here's another scenario concerning deductive treatment. In this case, your institution was awarded a grant for $100,000 subject to conditions found within FL-26 to hold a workshop. You charge admission and collect $25,000 in registration fees. Your institution draws down a total of $30,000 in ATMS as of September 30th, 2019. In this example, what should you report for FY19 program income for this award? Again, it should be equal to the program income earned only. It should not include any of the reimbursed expenditures received from your ACMS transactions. If no additional program income is earned, the maximum reimbursement available from NSF in this case, since deductive treatment applies, would be $75,000. Here's another scenario for what to do with excess program income after the project ends. On May 31st, 2019, your institution's NSF research grant has ended. The award was subject to standard treatment and received $500,000 in funding. During the life of the grant, a piece of equipment funded by the grant was rented out to non-federal entities. Fees were collected, totaling $200,000. As of September 30th, your institution shows a total of $500,000 in ATMS for project for expenditures, so that has been totally liquidated. However, your project ledger shows you have expended $150,000 of program income generated. With the $50,000 of program income remaining, what should your institution do? In this case, the only option would be to remit the remaining funds back to NSF. However, if this had been trued up before the project had actually ended, where your institution had expended the full $200,000 of the program income and only requested reimbursement for the $450,000 towards the project grant, a no-cost extension would remain available for your institution to utilize the extra $50,000. If the full project grant has been expended and program income is the only remaining funds, a no-cost extension is not available as an option. So it's important to get that right. So with that, we're going to open it up for Q&A briefly to discuss any questions that you might have on the topics that we've covered so far.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question from the phone, please press star followed by the number one. Please make sure to unmute your phone and record your name at the prompt. Again, that is star one for any questions from the phone. One moment, please, while questions come through. I'm showing no questions at this time.
It looks like we have some questions on the chat, so Diana, could you read those up?
Should membership fees received from members of IUCRC should be reported as program income?
So the question, I'm not sure if everyone heard that, but should membership fees received from members of IUCRCs be considered program income? And I believe the answer is yes. In the program guide of the IUCRC, there's explicit language in there describing how membership fees should be treated. We did have to work through an issue last year where the deductive treatment had been incorrectly added to an IUCRC award. And we, when that was brought to our attention, we did work with DGA and the grant recipient to work through that issue. So if you do have any other questions about that particular grant, it might be good to send us a specific email afterwards so that we can discuss the details further. But in general, the membership fees are considered program income.
Is interest reported as income?
So the question is interest reported as program income? Interest earned on advanced federal funds is not considered program income. There's a different treatment for interest. There's different policies in place on how that should be treated and remitted. And that is centrally remitted to, I believe, HHS.
Someone wanted you to repeat NC.
Oh, that's great. Sorry, I used an acronym. So an NCE, I had used the acronym. It represents no cost extension.
We created a credit course. Does tuition count as program income?
So we got another question concerning tuition counting as program income related to a credit course that was created out of the activities of the grant. I would suggest we take that question offline because that is not a straightforward answer. In some cases, tuition would not be, but it's really dependent on the overall purpose of the grant, I believe.
A report required even if our grant does not have program income?
Is the report required even if your grant does not have program income? The answer is yes. If you had an active award during the previous reporting cycle, which would be 10-1-2018 to 9-30-2019, a report is expected. And we're going to cover more about that in the next section of the webinar.
Can you repeat the policy about program income during NCE? It's not allowed? Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to cover this topic just briefly again here. I'll bring the slide up again. If at the end of your award, you have requested 100% of the federal funding and all that remains is excess program income, a no-cost extension is not available as an option because a no-cost extension will not be granted on an award that has zero funding remaining. That's just an overall policy at NSF. However, if the administration of the program income in this scenario would have been handled correctly, where the program income was liquidated first and the excess funds represented here represented an extra $50,000 in NSF funding on the grant remaining available, then in that scenario, a no-cost extension would have been available to this organization. However, in absence of doing that correctly, the only option here, if a no-cost extension is no longer available, is to remit the excess program income to NSF as a credit against the award. Hopefully that answers your questions.
Is there a way to download a report from ACMS of awards with program income that internal records can be validated against?
So is there a report in ACMS that can be downloaded that identifies which awards have earned program income, and the answer is no. Program income is tricky to know at the time of an award issuance. It's not known like cost share is known or other issues. And so NSF, we really don't know whether your award is earning program income until you self-report that, because you know it once the actual activities have started generating the income. And that's why it's required to submit these reports. Since these reports have not been fully built out into ACMS, there's no way for you to pull a report to see which awards have been previously reported as having program income. But hopefully your organization has kept records of the submissions of the Excel files that have been submitted to us since 2014. All right, we're going to move on. These are great questions. We're going to go ahead and move on to the second part of the presentation, and we'll continue with questions and answers at the end. So we wanted to briefly go over some instructions on how to submit this report. Again, access to the program income worksheet can be found via research.gov. And there's two ways you can get to it. Well, there's three. You can go directly to this link here up on the top of this web page or this slide where it's research.gov/program income. If you've logged into program income and you go to the header of manage financials, you'll see a program income reporting option there in the dropdown. And you should also see a program income reporting link under Manage Financials on the dashboard. Once you get to the program income webpage, there will be a link, a hyperlink, where you can download the Excel worksheet. And it's going to look something like this. We update this worksheet in September each year prior to the reporting period opening. It's important not to adjust the format of the Excel template. The template format is protected to allow for streamlined processing after we receive the submissions. If the template is unprotected and adjusted in some way, it can cause your report to fail during processing and potentially not show up or be marked as being received. Only the cells of the report template that are required are editable. If you experience a problem filling in a required field on this worksheet, we ask that you contact us rather than attempting to circumvent the template protections. The first part of the worksheet is the report header. These three fields are required for you to fill in: the organization name, the NSF organization ID, and the state. The reporting period is hard-coded in for this particular reporting period. Your organization ID and organization name is identified in the notification email for your reference, since some people don't know what the organization ID is. Please enter that ID number in the appropriate cell and do not drop off any leading or trailing zeros. It should be the full 10 digits that is entered. This is not the same as your NSF user ID. After completing the report header, if you have no program income to report, you can skip over the main part of the body and simply go to the appropriate certification statement, which I have displayed here, where it's basically indicating that you're certifying that, to the best of your knowledge, this organization has no program income to report. That's as simple as it is to submit if you have no program income. If you do have program income to report, we do request that you fill out the body of the report listing only the awards from your organization that has earned program incomes. So if your organization has 5 NSF awards and yet only one of those awards has earned program income, you do not need to list all 5. We only ask that you list the one award that has program income. You're required to identify the NSF award number with the 7 numerical characters only. We ask you to report the cumulative amount of program income earned. This should not include any reimbursements received for expenditures via ACMS, and it should not be period-specific income earned. We ask that this be cumulative from the inception of the award to the end of this reporting period. Please select the appropriate expenditure treatment. If it's additive, which is the standard treatment, please enter that figure into column C or column D. I'm sorry. And if it's treated as deductive, enter it into the deductive column. The expenses should be one or the other. It should not be in both. And it should not be split because there's only one treatment per NSF award. And this should always be a positive dollar amount. Since this is a cumulative report, if this particular period had negative credits, if you enter negative amounts in this field for the report, it indicates to us that you're not submitting a cumulative report. And then in column F, this is a calculated field that will automatically display what the remaining unexpended program income is, and then we allow you to make any remarks in the final column. If you've reported program income, you need to select the appropriate certification statement that indicates what you've reported in the body of the report is true and accurate. Finally, we do not require a wet signature on this report. We only require you to fill out the report certifications section indicating who is the certifying official of this report. We do not require that you print the Excel file to PDF or print it out and physically sign and then scan that to PDF. When you submit PDF documents to us, it does not allow us to process the report correctly, and we may be in contact with you to ask you to submit the Excel report. If you submit both the Excel and PDF to us, it will show up as a duplicate report being received. The completed Excel worksheet should be submitted via email to programincomecertification@nsf.gov. This email address is also available on the Program Income Reporting webpage, so you don't have to have it remembered. And we will also be sending out these PowerPoint slides to everybody after this webinar, so you can keep this as a reference document as well. Again, please only submit the Excel file. Do not submit PDF versions of the report. Some reminders here to prevent common processing issues that we have. Do not adjust the format of the Excel template if you are having issues entering information into the field that is required. Contact us rather than trying to unprotect the Excel workbook. Do not enter your NSF user ID in place of the NSF organization ID, and make sure you're entering all 10 digits of the NSF organization ID. Often that will require you to enter it in as a text cell. If you use a number or general format on the cell, it will drop off leading or trailing zeros at times. Do not submit a PDF version. We don't want both copies. We only want the Excel file. And please make sure you're only including program income amounts that are reportable. Do not include the non-program income amounts that we've discussed. And again, this is an annual report. We have received from a few institutions the submission of this report on a quarterly basis. It is not required quarterly, and it simply shows up as duplicate submissions. So please only submit this one time annually between the dates of October 1 and November 14th. So, just to remind you here, if we've identified your organization as requiring a program income report, we sent you a reminder notice asking for the submission of that. We sent out 1,726 institution reminders. We are expecting to receive 1,726 reports, regardless of whether you have earned program income. It is due 45 days after the reporting period begins, and it is submitted through the email programincomecertification@nsf.gov. So at this time, we're going to go ahead and open it back up for questions. You're welcome to ask questions over the audio line, or you can continue to ask questions through the Q&A chat.
Thank you. As a reminder, it is star one to ask a question from the phone, and we do have a question from Bryce. Your line is open. Bryce Jones, your line is open. I'm sorry, we're getting no response. I'll clear you from queue. Just a moment, please. We just had another question from the phone. And this question comes from Jody. Your line is open.
Hi, I was wondering how you determine if tuition is reportable as program income.
That's a difficult question to answer in this setting because it's really required to look into the specifics of the grant. And we're happy to dig into that question on a one-on-one basis, but we just ask that you go ahead and send a question to your NSF account, and we can take a look at the details of that particular grant. In most cases, my understanding is tuition is not going to be counted as program income, but I don't want to say all the time without checking the specifics of the award.
Okay.
The next question is from Erica. Your line is open.
So it's a two-part question. I'd like to know if this reporting happens on our annual report to the program officer, if it's over multiple years that we're making this mention, as well as do we make mention on auditing reports as well for this? Does this have to be in there specified?
So this is not a component of your annual technical program progress report. This is a separate financial report that is collected by the financial office here at NSF, specifically collected on the Excel worksheet of the report, and it's one report per organization. So if you have multiple awards that have earned program income, you're submitting a single report for all of those awards that have earned it. You're not going to submit separate program income financial reports per award. Did that answer your question, or was there a second part that I missed?
That did answer the first part. And then for auditing, does that component have to be put in on our financials for auditing as well, yes or no?
So I don't want to misspeak here. We'll probably have to take that question and look into it and send a follow-up afterwards. If you want to send us an email so that we can make sure that we're getting that information out to the appropriate person. But I do believe program income may need to be represented on the schedule of expenditures for federal awards, but I'm not sure in other one other manner, and so I don't want to like misspeak right now, and so I think we should follow up and get a firm answer on that question.
That's fine. Thank you so much, Justin.
The next question comes from Denise. Your line is open.
I was just wondering if we will be receiving the recording and a copy of the slides.
Yes, we will make that available after the webinar within the next couple days. Last year we sent it out as a zip file. Like the audio recording was an MP3 and the slides were a PDF. This year we may look at simply making those available on our website and sending out a link for you guys to go out and retrieve that on your own. We're not 100% sure which option we're going to do this year, but you will have access to both the slides and the audio recording in some fashion after the webinar.
Okay, thank you.
Just a reminder, it is star one if you'd like to ask a question from the phone. The next question comes from Karina Martinez. Your line is open.
Yes, hi. I submitted my report a couple of weeks ago. How do we know if we submitted it correctly, and how do we know that you received it?
So the program income certification email alias is the appropriate alias to send it to. If you've sent it to an NSF accountant directly, in most cases we're going to forward that and let you know that we're forwarding it. But you don't want to be sending it to one of us individually, because really we run the processing of the reports off of the box that the alias is linked to. And that box does not automatically send confirmation of receipt. So if you are concerned on whether we have received your report, you can always reach out and we can confirm that the report has been received by checking the box.
Right. Also, Diana is going to be sending out notices if you haven't submitted it. So if you're not receiving reminder notices going forward, you should be good to go.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Linda. Your line is open.
Thank you. Question is underneath the additive or additional funders. Should funding from foundations, corporations, and individuals be reported as program income?
So are these considered like collaborators on a project, an NSF project?
They're not collaborators on an NSF project. They are funders that are part of the organization that give to the organization on an annual basis.
No. If they're not related to an NSF project, they're in no way considered program income.
Not all
collaborator contributions are considered program income. It's the IUCRC program that has a specific stipulation indicating the treatment of their membership fees.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question comes from Jennifer. Your line is open.
Hi, I just have a question about the subject matter line and how we're saving the document. We don't have program income to report, but obviously we need to submit this. But do we need to put our organization number or name in the subject matter and also to save the document as our organization number or name rather than just say program income reporting?
We don't have a specific standard that we require you to follow. Any of those options that you indicated would be accepted.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Bryce. Your line is open.
Yeah, thanks. I'm sorry for being disconnected earlier. Something happened with the phone. But my question is about if industry scholarships, sponsorships like for scholarships or other things could count as program income. This may be a question we need to have offline. But really, it's if industry sponsored a student for a scholarship that was part of the project, would this be considered program income?
No, the scholarship or the tuition that's being paid on behalf of the student for your organization to make them a student.
Yes.
And now that they're a student, they're working on the NSF grant, that's unrelated.
Okay.
From the information I received from you, I would venture to say No, that would not be considered program income.
Great. Thank you so much.
I'm showing no other questions from the phone at this time.
So we have a few more questions, I believe, on the Q&A. We're just going to check those out real quick and make sure that we address them. One of the questions was, when does the report open? That opens October 1, and it continues to be open. The deadline is November 14th, but even if you miss the deadline, we do expect you to still submit that report, and we'll be sending follow-ups. Another question is, are we only reporting if we have excess program income on hand, or are we reporting any program income generated regardless if we incurred expenditures against it? The second part of your question is true. We require you to include any program income generated regardless of the expenditure status of that income. So if you've earned $20,000 in program income, but you have only spent $5,000 of that, you need to indicate the earning of the $20,000, the spending of the $5,000, and then you'll show the excess of $15,000. I see another question here that you submitted the certification already to your specific NSF accountant, but I have not received a confirmation yet. May I submit it through the link provided? I would just double check with your NSF accountant to see if they forwarded it already, but in most cases, it's best to submit it directly to the alias, program income certification at NSF.gov. Another question is, if you can't find the email that gave you the NSF organization ID, where do you find it? If you log into ACMS and you get to your organization summary page, it will be right under your organization's name. We put it right there on ACMS as well. It's a 10-digit number, organization ID. Someone else was asking, was told that you could earn program income after the end of the award. Does that have to be sent to NSF? You are only obligated to report and link program income earned on an NSF grant during the project period of that NSF grant. If you continue to earn what would typically have been considered program income, such as usage fees on an equipment, because the equipment has a durable life expectancy longer than the project period of the grant, once that grant ends, you're no longer required to track that and report it as program income against the award. I have someone who said program income is not reported on the CFA. It is not tied to a CFDA number. Again, that's a topic that I was unsure on, so I just wanted to, rather than misspeak, take that and make sure we get a firm answer on that before we say anything as final. I believe that was all the questions that I saw.
We do have another question from the phone, if you'd like to take that.
Yes.
This comes from Carmen. Your line is open.
Hello. Thank you for having a session. I have a question, just as clarification, on submission of the form. If we have, in your example, five NSF grants and we're only reporting income for one, and we leave off the remaining four if they don't report program income, how are we then supposed to submit the report indicating that we don't have program income if we don't indicate this on the form?
The inclusion of the one award that you have program income by certifying that that's the only program income your organization has earned will also infer that the remaining awards that your organization has no program income to report. So you don't have to submit a separate program income report that says no program income to report for those other four.
Okay, thank you.
There are no other questions from the phone.
Are there any best practices to share on how to record the spending program income separately from the spending of grant funds?
Say that again.
Are there any best practices to share on how to record the spend of program income separately from the spend of grant funds?
So the question is, are there any best practices on how to record the expenditure spend of program income versus the grant spend? We really don't get into the business of telling you how to keep your books at your organization. Best practices can often be found through the professional organization network, through the different professional development organizations. So we don't really want to get into dictating a right and wrong way, because there isn't just one right way of doing it. But I am aware that some organizations will set up separate spending accounts in their financial system that is linked to the NSF grant to indicate the relationship. But again, there isn't really just one right way, and we don't really provide best practices ourselves.
For an IUCRC, do we only report the amount of membership fees over the minimum that is required?
For the person who submitted the additional IUCRC question, if we could take that question offline, and because I would want to pull up the specific documentation for the IUCRC program before answering any more detailed questions about that. So if you could send a follow-up email, that would be great.
If our institution has three NSF awards, but $0 in program income, do we need to list each award on the spreadsheet?
So if you're reporting no program income for any of your awards, the body where you fill out the award number and such can be left blank. You only need to fill out the report header, the appropriate certification statement indicating you have no program income to report, and the certification information.
But Justin, what if I reported program income award last year and I didn't generate any income the past year? Do I report on that this year?
A good question, Chris. And the answer is yes, because it's a cumulative report. If you have identified an award as having earned program income at some point during the life of that award and it is still considered active during the reporting period of this report, we would consider that to still be required to be submitted on the report. You would just indicate no additional program income has been earned by not changing the amount of the cumulative program earned. Hopefully, you would continue to spend it or show that it has been fully spent. But we don't want you to just drop it off if it was still an active grant during the reporting period.
If the award only has partial funding, say 10% of the activity, and the activity generates program income, is 100% of program income reportable or only 10% of the award funded portion?
So the question is, if NSF is only funding 10% of the research activity, how much of the generated income is required to be attributed to the NSF grant? And that's a real tricky question without getting into the actual specifics of the award. So I'm reluctant to give an answer over this forum. If you have a concern about this particular award, please send a follow-up question where we can look into the specifics of the grant and make an appropriate determination.
We do have another question from the phone line.
Okay.
This is from Erica. Your line is open.
Justin, just to go beyond with Chris's statement about accruing income each year. So if we have funding for 3 years, and the first year we incur $5,000, and then the next year we incur another $5,000, and then the next year we incur another $5,000, are you stating that on the first year we show five, on the second year we show 10, and on the third year we show, what, 15? Is that what you're saying?
That is exactly what we're saying, yes. Unfortunately,
okay.
We get a number of reports that aren't doing that, though.
Okay.
And that's why we're trying to make the point so clear that this is a cumulative report.
Okay. Now I understand. Thank you.
Yep.
We did have a question just come in from the phone. One moment, please, while I get the name.
Okay.
And this question comes from Sean. Your line is open.
Hello. How does the drawdown process work?
In general, drawdowns are requested through ACMS, the Award Cash Management Service. We do have some help materials, and your specific NSF accountant is available via email or via phone to provide additional assistance if you need assistance on actually submitting a transaction through ACMS. And when we receive those transactions, we process them, and that's what generates the payments. But I'm reluctant to get into further details on this forum on that. But if you're not sure who your NSF accountant is, this website link available here on this slide is a link to our cash management branch website on the NSF website, and the NSF accountants are listed based on state assignments. So you just find whatever state your institution resides in listed under the appropriate NSF accountant, and you'll find their contact information to get more assistance on that.
Okay, thank you. Very helpful. Also, too, in terms of process, do we have to submit quarterly reporting from the drawdown?
No. With the implementation of the Award Cash Management Service, we eliminated the requirement for the quarterly federal financial report because we felt like it was collecting duplicate information of the information that we are already receiving through the ACMS transactions.
All right, great. Thank you.
And we do have a question from Lana. Your line is open.
Hi, can you explain additive and deductive again, please?
Sure. Let me go back up to that. In most cases, awards issued by NSF are going to be treated as additive because that's our standard treatment. And an award notice is not going to say anything about program income. And if that's the case, then you can rest assured that the standard treatment applies. An additive means that the income that has been earned can be retained and added to the federal funding to further the purposes of the grant. The same spending restrictions apply to the program income portion of the funding as would apply to the federal portion of the funding. So if alcohol is not permitted to be spent on the federal funds, alcohol would not also be, it would also not be allowed to be spent on the program income funds. In some cases, for certain kinds of awards, like workshop or conference grants that are being fully funded by NSF or group travel awards, special conditions might be added to the notice of award, in particular the FL-26 term and condition. If that's the case, then deductive treatment would apply to the award. But again, that's a very small percentage of NSF awards that get that treatment applied. In most cases, it's going to be additive. Does that help clarify that for you?
Yes, thank you.
There are no other questions from the phone at this time.
Okay, not seeing any other questions either. We're going to, well, actually, I do see one question here. What email address do we send our follow-up questions to? I recommend sending your follow-up questions to your appropriate NSF accountant for your particular organization. Again, you can go to the cash management website to find out who that might be if you're unsure. And then we can take that question from there and we can get you the answer that you're looking for. If it was a general program income question that you could all, that audit question in particular, go ahead and send that one to me, please. No matter who your NSF accountant is, because I'm going to look into that one personally. Okay, without having any other questions, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this webinar. We appreciate your attendance and participation. There were a lot of great questions. Hopefully you found this information helpful in the submission and preparation of this program income report. And we thank you for your time today.
That does conclude today's call. Thank you for participating. You may disconnect at this time.